And we'd like to also mention another sponsor, Vern Main. Countries depend for much of their success and security on their intellectual prowess and advanced technology. Many companies from here and abroad depend on the patent attorneys at Vern Main and Associates to obtain U.S. or global patent protection for their new ideas. Vern Main and Associates is an intellectual property law firm right here in Nashua. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialists at Vern Main and Associates at their offices on 100 Main Street in Nashua or on the web at vernmain.com. That's www.vernmaine.com. vernmain.com. Sonia.
Drawing on the wisdom of ancient mystical and spiritual traditions, Rachel, did you know Rachel, performs
yes.
an intriguing guitar and vocal mix of folk, world, traditional, and transformational music to create an atmosphere of calm and joy. Rachel's music is suitable for all ages, occasions, and venues. Contact her, please, Rachel, at www.rachelmusic.net. That's www.rachelmusic.net.
Thank you, Sonia. It's always nice to hear someone else advertise for me.
We are going to
start right away with our Hebrew word. I'm very excited about the word today because I'm thinking of doing this myself.
Okay, so our Hebrew word today is Aliyah. And Aliyah means to go up. Coming to Israel, it's to make an Aliyah. It's to go up to Israel. It's a connection, it's a spiritually connection to our Jewish homeland, to the land to our, that our ancestors lived in and created so many years ago. When we travel to Jerusalem, it is literally an uphill route, and spiritually, one spiritually is raised up a few notches too. Aliyah speaks about the Jewish people's returns to Judea from Babylon in 537 BCE after Cyrus' proclamation. The way home was very dangerous, so the Jewish nation walked by foot on the road that was difficult, yet ultimately the safer path. This path also gave the nation of around 50,000 time to think about what and how they would like the new society to look like and how to rebuild Judea. The combination of the profound introspection and the challenging physical effort make up the terms we are using till today, Aliyah to Israel and Jerusalem.
You know, and not a lot has changed since the ancient times. We are still making Aliyah. Today our subject is about Aliyah. We're going to speak with our guest, which is a pre-recorded interview, actually, with Shelley Brin. Shelley grew up in New Jersey in the USA, where she studied education at Boston University. Shelley made Aliyah, she came to Israel, in 1985 to Jerusalem with her boyfriend, which is now her husband, David, who is a journalist for the Jerusalem Post. Shelley worked in education for 18 years, and then she worked in Aliyah, in absorption, and for 4 years. She's also studied classical homeopathy, and Shelley and David have 4 children, their ages ranging from 9 to 21, and they live in Maale Adumim. And we all know about Maale Adumim from our discussion we had 2 weeks ago with Hannah.
Right.
So this is a pre-recorded interview that's focusing on the state of Israel as the Jewish home for the Jewish nation in the world. So it's very exciting. I'm still in Israel, enjoying my time here. And Sonia, did you want to say anything about Aliyah before we cut to a break?
Well, I am thinking how our shows will look like when you will decide to go back in Israel.
I think they'll look like they do now. I will find wonderful people who live in Israel who have made Aliyah and who live here also, who are born here, that we can broadcast and keep putting our human face on all things Israel. And you will be in New Hampshire and you will follow me to Israel also soon,
right,
we hope, and come back. And
and we will find
I
also
think
people
that
from
people
here.
will also follow us, is the hope.
Yes, and also we will find people from here, from, you know, from the academia or interesting people, which I'm hoping that this is what we are doing till now, and we'll continue in this way to find people with a great interest about Israel, for Israel, that can give us a new perspective about
most
this
definitely
little country, yes, with such a great history and such a wonderful culture. And I think that we can make maybe the point.
I think so. I think people will come. If
yes.
you build it, they will come, they say.
Yeah.
So we're building it.
We are.
So
yes.
they have to come.
Absolutely. Yes, and okay, so you are looking around to stay in Israel, Maale Adumim or something else?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking around in Maale Adumim, and I will be touring around soon to see the rest of Israel and see if maybe that's a place I might like. And I'll be back in another 12 days. After a 2-month stay in Israel, and then I'm probably going to be packing my bags and coming back.
And you probably are very tan.
I don't know. Maybe I lost a pound or two, but from all the walking.
No, I didn't say. I didn't say thin. I said tan from
yeah,
the sun.
Yeah, I know you said tan, but I'm not sitting out tanning myself. But I did get a little color. That's for sure, because
yeah.
you can't help it.
You're right, and this is good. It's okay. Okay, I think that we are probably all set, and we will
cut to a break. And when we come back, we'll be hearing an interview with Shelley Brin, who works here in the municipality in Maale Adumim, working with new immigrants and people who have made Aliyah. So we'll be back with Shelley Brin.
Okay, thank you, Rachel.
...1590 WSMN.
And WSMNradio.com.
In southern New Hampshire, there's a variety of news and talk programming on your radio. And here on 1590 WSMN, we know from time to time you have questions about programming and comments you'd like to pass along to us. Now you can just email us at any time at info@WSMNradio.com. That email address is info@WSMNradio.com. Use it whenever you like. And thanks for listening to Nashua's News and Talk, 1590 WSMN.
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick. That's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy.
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year, the majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
The American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee is a nonprofit international humanitarian aid organization celebrating its 95th anniversary. Headquartered in New York City, we serve people in more than 70 countries. JDC transforms communities, reaching out to hundreds of thousands of people in need by providing relief during crisis and rescue from danger. For information, log on to jdc.org. That's jdc.org.
Nashua was chosen the best place to live twice. If you're planning on living twice, do it with us. 1590 WSMN.
Dime mato umana i cheve ta kim dam ya fat dime mato
Hi Shelly, we're talking with Shelly Brin in Ma'ale Adumim at the municipality, and hi Shelly.
Hi Rachel.
How are
hi,
you today?
Hi everybody in New Hampshire.
Shelly, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and about your own aliyah to Israel?
Sure. Well, I'm a lot of different things, but right now I'm an aliyah coordinator, and I work for the municipality of Ma'ale Adumim. I made aliyah about 25 years ago with my husband, and we came to Jerusalem where we lived for a few years, and then we started looking for a nice community to settle and have children and buy a house in, and we ended up here in Ma'ale Adumim.
So I'm going to ask you, what brought you to Israel?
Well, I grew up in New Jersey, and when I was about 16 years old, I was persuaded by friends to join a very Zionist youth group, and it was somewhere I must have struck a chord in my soul, and I became, I think I was one of the few people who actually took it seriously, and I ended up coming with that youth group when I was 16, a summer program, which encouraged me then to come for 1 year of college, which encouraged me then to come back after college, and that was pretty much it. Here I am.
So you're very gullible.
Yeah. Well, as my father says, I was brainwashed. But
no, I think you made all the right decisions, Shelly. So we're talking about Olim and making Aliyah. So those are new immigrants who are coming and emigrating from another country and immigrating to Israel. So in Israel, we understand that the Olim don't need to take any tests in order to become citizens, and they don't actually need to speak Hebrew, but yet they become citizens with full rights. Can you enlighten us about maybe why and according to which law, and also tell us something about why the State of Israel is interested in Olim and encouraging and supporting immigration, which was very successful with you, so.
Well, Israel is probably a very unique country in the sense that we have here the law of return for all Jews all over the world, no matter where they are. And any Jew who wants to come to Israel, who wants to live here, as you said, doesn't have to take a test, has automatic immigration. immigration rights. And not only do they have automatic immigration rights, but the country actually encourages it, and they have lots of benefits when they come to try to make it easier for them. Now, why would Israel do this? Well, that's going back to the whole reason why Israel was created in the first place. One of the reasons that Israel was created was to be a haven for Jews from all over the world. Not only a haven if they're in physical, if there's physical persecution or if they're in trouble, but also to be a place where Jews can come and create a Jewish society. And I think that that's one of the realities here in Israel, is that it is a big melting pot. There's a lot of people from different places, different forms of Judaism, customs, and it's creating a lot of creativity, a lot of vibrations going on here, and it's making it what it is, which is a very energetic country, a growing country, a country that's always in progress, always developing. And I think it's because of all these immigrants that come from all over the world and live together and bring their differences that we have a situation like this.
I have to say, I was just spending Shabbat with a friend, and I heard some children's voices, and they were singing. So I went out to the porch, and I went to see what was that singing that I was hearing. And I looked out, and there was a group of Ethiopian children skipping down the street and singing Eretz Zavat Chalav and clapping their hands. And walking behind them were all the mothers and a few fathers. So I just, the thought that occurred to me, isn't that really great how there's so many people from all over the world here, and how somehow it seems to work.
Right. Well, the first, you know, just like in the United States, the first generation of immigrants that came from Europe had a difficult time. They worked very hard, and they somewhat lived in poverty in certain places, and only their children had the opportunities to go to college and to have professions. It's, in some ways, it's similar here. The Ethiopians, for example, don't have an easy time when they first come. There are a lot of social issues and economic issues, educational issues, and the country invests a lot in the Ethiopian community because they're probably the community that needs help the most. But when you see the second generation of the kids who graduate and then get jobs, it does make you very proud to see where they've come from. And they're speaking Hebrew, and they've gone to school, and they have good jobs, and then they have children. And so it takes a generation or two, but I think that it is quite successful.
And the investment that the country makes is very special. Can you tell me why you, how you came to work with just American immigrants?
Well, it's a bit of a funny story because my background is actually in education. I studied special education in Boston, at Boston University, before making Aliyah. And when I came here, I worked for about 13, 14 years in education. I became somewhat tired of the educational system and started to look elsewhere. I then moved on to direct a therapy center for children in Ramot, which is a neighborhood of Jerusalem. And then when I got tired of that, because of the poor working conditions, I was saying to myself, well, what now? What can I do now? And I just happened to open up the local newspaper, and it said, looking for an Aliyah coordinator. And I thought, well, I can do that. I'm good with people. I speak the language. I'm good at organizing things. And so I applied, and here I am. One of the things I wanted to say, though, about the particular job that I took, which was called Community Aliyah, is that it was a program that has now been cut. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was a special program that was all over the country, where the local municipalities decided with the absorption ministry on a particular group of particular population to absorb, and try to do it on a community level instead of on a national level, which I think was a very good model of absorption.
Yeah. So can you describe what exactly you're doing and how the municipality is helping? How are you helping Olim to settle in Israel and maybe in Mali Damim as well?
Well, it's a very loosely, very widely defined job. anything that has to do with Aliyah and absorption, which is pretty much... start thinking about making Aliyah, and they want to find out about different communities. So they might go, let's say, to the Jewish Agency website or to the Nefesh B'Nefesh website, and they might, and there my name will be listed in a little blurb about the different communities. So they might email me or call me and start asking me questions. If they're interested in coming to Ma'ale Adumim, then we'll set up a time and they'll come for a pilot trip. And usually the pilot trip is done about a half a year before actually making Aliyah. In fact, making a pilot trip has become almost a requirement from Nefesh B'Nefesh.
Really?
Because they feel it's so important that a person sees with his own eyes what exactly they're talking about when they say they're coming to Jerusalem or coming to Ma'ale Adumim. What's the neighborhood like? What are the schools like? How are the neighborhoods set up? So most families do come on a pilot trip for about a week or two before making Aliyah. So I spend time with them on their pilot trip, introduce them to people in the community who might have similar professions or similar age children. I take them to the schools where we sit and we meet with the principal to see if the school ideology fits with theirs. We start looking around for apartments. When they're on their pilot trip, I give them a tour of the city and we go into all the city institutions, and they have a chance to ask questions. We sit over a cup of coffee, they ask all sorts of day-to-day questions, and then when they go back to the States or Canada or England, we continue being in touch, and I help them do some networking for jobs. I help them with questions, with getting their kids matched up maybe so they can start writing to other kids before they come. And almost anything that has to do with making Aliyah that I can help them with. There's certain things, for example, shipping, that is best to take care of it from their side. And there's plenty of organizations that help with that. But anything that has to do with if their kids will be needing tutoring when they get here, that I can set up for them. If they are coming to an apartment that needs to be professionally cleaned, I can help them with that. So we're talking about very little things, but things that might be very important.
Well, coming to a clean house, knowing that your child is set up in a school system.
Yeah, these are things that will make a successful Aliyah.
And also knowing that you have someone to turn to when you don't know what to do. It seems, you know, that your job is valuable, really extremely valuable. Mm-hmm. You as a middleman, you know, kind of.
Exactly.
To point them in the right direction and always there. To answer questions.
There's an interesting story that happened. A family who took an apartment before they came. I helped them to the whole rental contract process, because that's also, that in itself is something that you have to be very careful about, and it's a big procedure. You have to know what you're signing, and there are Israeli norms that are different from American norms. And they came to an apartment, and the landlord said when she checked the apartment, everything was fine. But when they came, the living room floor was filled with water.
Oh, wow.
The pipe had burst. They hadn't, the landlord hadn't been in for a while. And these are people that came, could not open up a telephone book in Hebrew and know who to call. And so I was there for them. And we laugh about it now, but, but who else would they call? They didn't know anybody else.
Yeah. And I think that's amazing because, I mean, I know that when I first came here, I had my mother to help me out, but, when you're sort of just coming out of the blue and you really don't have anyone to help you, this is a really great program to be able to have someone to turn
and
to.
And there's another instance where a family just made Aliyah from Kansas, and they did not speak Hebrew at all, and the second day they were here, the son had to go to the hospital, had an asthma attack, couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. How did they get... Not only how did they get to the hospital, but how did they call taxi?
Right.
They had no idea.
And where's the hospital?
Right, where's the hospital? They had no idea. And so these are things that are really crucial sometimes.
Yeah.
And especially if you don't come with language skills, which brings to the point that it's language is probably the number one, besides having the motivation and wanting to be in Israel, it's the number one thing that people need to think about. very important that if you're thinking about making Aliyah, that you start learning Hebrew, because Hebrew is the language spoken here, and it's true that there are a lot of people who speak English, but not everybody.
Right. Right, you can get by, and the tremendous help you offer with all the paperwork, the bureaucracy and all of that, it just, you know, just anyone living anywhere would have a hard time, and it's nice to have someone to go to, I imagine.
Yeah, and again, the job is very varied. Sometimes I sit with people, they bring me their phone bills, they bring me their electric bills, and I translate it for them.
Mm-hmm.
It took me years to figure that out. It took me years of you know, going to the wrong office and
right.
not knowing what I was doing. So I'm hoping that, I hope that this saves them some time and energy.
Right. Now you're a professional bill payer.
Right. It's funny because dealing with the bureaucracy is something that I never really liked myself, but now I find I do it for other people.
Right.
Which I guess is a little easier when doing it for somebody else.
Most definitely. So can you give us an example? Well, you've talked a lot about, but how can you give, maybe you can give us an example of the day in the life. One day in the life of the Ole Chadash, the new immigrant, for example, they become citizens as soon as they get off the plane, and they receive the help and the support in the way of funding and stipends, etc., to enable their smooth entry, and they have you as a person. Just sort of, what would the day look like?
Well, it's very different from, let's say, the first week and after the first 6 months. It's night and day. The first few days, you're in limbo. You're really in excommunication with the world, because the process is that even though it has gotten a lot easier, and especially if you come with nefesh b'nefesh, with which most North Americans do, and your identity card, your tu'dat zehut, which you have to have all the time with you, I suppose it's somewhat like your social security card in the States, that is processed for you, but it takes about 3 days. Mm-hmm. So you actually go to the nefesh b'nefesh office, and you are presented with your card, which is a step up from having to go to the Interior Ministry and waiting hours online and arguments. But still, so you have a few days that you don't have this piece of paper yet, which pretty much enables you to do everything else. So you can't open up a bank account yet. You can't open up a bank account yet. You can't get a cell phone yet.
Mm-hmm.
You can't register your kids for school yet. You can't do anything. You can't
right.
do almost any of the things that you need to do until you get that identity card. So the first few days, people are very worried. You know, they have to do all this stuff. And I tell them, just relax, go sightsee for a few days, look around, you'll probably need to buy stuff
eventually.
Right, celebrate. You know, just take it easy. But it's hard to be without a cell phone, as we know these days. The Olim want to call their parents and family back in the States and let them know that everything's okay. And so it's hard to be without a cell phone. But we do the first few days, we try to set the families up, get to know other families, get play dates going. And then about the third day, all the dealing with bureaucracy starts.
Right.
The party's over.
Right.
So then they run around from one office to another. Now that they have their identity card, they open up their bank accounts, which take a very long time. They go to sign up for their health plan. Some people need to go to the National Health Insurance, all different offices, and sometimes you don't have the right piece of paper and you have to go back. So you spend about a good week, 2 weeks running around to all the offices and setting up your life
right.
anew, basically.
Right. It's also very, I'm sure it's very challenging, but also very exciting
it
at
is.
The same time.
Yeah, people get a little bit caught up in the bureaucratic, you know, running around. After they finish it, then they can pretty much kind of take a step back and look at the beautiful, spectacular view that they have
right.
around Mali Dumim, which is mostly mountains, desert, and then they can say, wow, we're really here.
Hi, Shelley. We're talking with Shelley Brady.
WSMN
and WSMNRadio.com.
Nicole, don't you just love this coffee shop?
Yeah, Maria. And it's nice to get out of the house without the kids for a change.
I know what you mean. I ran all over town with mine yesterday. But we got a lot done. They even got their yearly flu vaccines.
Really? I thought your kids were healthy like mine. They don't need to get vaccinated.
Actually, they do. My doctor says that healthy kids can get really sick from the flu. She said about 20,000 kids are hospitalized because of it every year, and some even die from it.
Wow. I didn't realize flu could be that serious. I'd better find out about getting my kids vaccinated, too.
Seasonal influenza is a serious disease that kills about 36,000 Americans each year and results in more than 200,000 hospitalizations, including over 20,000 children. Health officials recommend annual vaccination for all kids 6 months through 18 years. Get fluent. Learn the flu facts. Visit PreventChildhoodInfluenza.org.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Trouble on Rock Hill.
Ain't nothing like running up and down Rock Hill.
Hey, let's move this rock.
Whoa! Sassy, Johnny's stuck under that rock.
Yeah, girl, go tell Mr. Gunderson to bring his truck.
You'll tell him, but only after you dispel a stereotype associated with shelter pets? People think shelter pets come with lots of initial veterinary costs?
It's dusty under here.
But in reality, most shelter pets have been vaccinated, neutered, and microchipped in case they get lost?
My pants ripped.
Sassy, Johnny needs help. What Johnny really needs is more discipline and better parental supervision? You use big words, Sassy.
Still under the rock.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Check the latest weather, cross town or cross country, anytime. Click on the weather box at WSMNradio.com.
At the municipality, and Sonia and I, who is also on the co-host, we're both interested in how Israel helps the young children assimilate and become integrated in Israeli life. You mentioned how, you know, the next generation has it kind of easier because they're already there. Can you describe that immigration process for the children?
Well, I find it a bit frightening, personally. I think to myself, wow, that's a bit scary, you know, for a child to go into a classroom. In any case, that going to a new classroom would be scary, not to know any other children, not to know what's expected of you. But, you know, here you have children who are going into a classroom and not understanding a word that is said for 6 to 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I guess children maybe they do learn a lot from the cues around them and they socialize with the other English speakers, so there is some emotional support for them, and the teachers are very understanding. They're not required to do the regular classroom work or take the test until they're ready. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is that I would say it takes a few months, but with the help they're given, after a few months, I can almost guarantee the parents are going to come up to me in the supermarket when I see them and say, you know, I can't believe my kids are speaking Hebrew already.
Right.
It's a nice feeling. I like to hear it each time, even parents who thought their kids were never going to learn the language. But the kids do pick it up rather quickly. I set up an OPAN, you know, which is an intensive language program for the kids at the schools. And
so they do have language learning program at the schools.
They have language learning.
And as the adults do as well, correct?
Right, yep. As the adults do. Through the schools, the hours are given by the Education Ministry, which is government office. And so just from the Education Ministry, they would probably get about, if we put all the hours together, probably about 10, 15 hours a week of language instruction.
Wow, great.
And then sometimes we try to supplement it also And some of the children obviously need more help than others. So some of the parents have to supplement it with extra tutoring, more so for the older kids, when the kids who are junior high school and high school ready, and they have to worry more about matriculation exams. Sometimes that it's not enough what the education ministry gives them, and the parents have to give them private lessons.
Yeah. But again, they do have help with all of this. This is what you were pointing out.
They do get help, but again, because as I mentioned, the education ministry gives hours depending on how many Olim come to a particular school.
Mm-hmm.
So the more Olim, the more hours the school is going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's only one or two Olim, there's not that much help provided by the education ministry.
Right.
Which is a problem. That comes, again, down to the economic state of the country.
Right.
And I think the country would like to help only as much as they needed, but it all comes down to shekels.
Yeah.
And as they say in America, you know, dollars and pennies and dimes, but this is the way it's in Israel, that there just isn't that much money. And Israel does do, I don't know if more, but has a big absorption issue.
Budget, well,
which requires a big absorption budget.
Right.
And in the same time that Israel is dealing with defense and dealing with other issues, economic issues of the Israelis that live here that are having a difficult time. And on top of that, they have to deal with absorption from all over the world. So
right.
I think that we could always use more money, and they do the best, you know, we do the best that we can.
I'm going to let you maybe tell some websites and ways that people can help, maybe donate as well, and anyone who's interested in making Aliyah, you know, at the end of our interview, we'll collect some of those links and websites. I'm just wondering if, you know, today we're seeing an actual surge in American immigration, which sort of maybe came in waves, I'm not sure, but there seems to be more these days than there was before. Can you shed some light on this phenomenon? What are Americans looking for suddenly?
Well, I think that, again, when I came to Israel about 24 years ago, there were a lot of people coming as well, and there seemed to be a lull, and people were not coming as much, until you had the whole... the organization of Nefesh B'Nefesh, which kind of made its way into the American Aliyah scene.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what Nefesh B'Nefesh did was put a real emotional angle to the idea of Aliyah. It was kind of like they stirred people up.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, you can do it. Come on home. This is where you belong.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time as trying to have that emotional angle, they tried to make it easier for Olim.
Yeah.
So they found out that, I guess through surveys, that the two things that prohibited most people from making Aliyah were the fears of bureaucracy and the economic situation. So the two things that they work on is trying to cut the bureaucracy and trying to give help economically, give help in ways of one-time financial assistance to families that are coming. I think most families do get some economic help from Nefesh B'Nefesh. And then once the families are here, the Nefesh B'Nefesh continues giving them support. They have somebody who calls like once a month to see how each family is doing.
Wow.
They have an employment center to help. And these things did exist. You know, there's always government employment. But the Nefesh B'Nefesh, all English speakers.
Yeah.
You know, they know the American mentality. They're set up specifically for North American Olim.
Right.
And so it made a big difference. And so I think that really did encourage a lot of people to come, thinking that, yes, we can do it.
Yeah.
This is not something that is so difficult. You know, we can do it because there are people in Israel that are going to help us.
Right. So there was a stumbling block, basically, of bureaucracy. But now, with that removed, so Americans are thinking that, yeah, I can do this without a lot of trouble now.
Right. Now, in addition to that, you had other circumstances. For example, the economic situation in the United States took somewhat of a plunge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are people, and I know people, who either were getting laid off or who, you know, were in the process of... they weren't happy with their job situation, And they thought, okay, well, you know, maybe now's the time to make the move.
Right.
You know, maybe it was somewhere in the back of their mind, and this kind of gave them the impetus to make that move.
Right. And so, and as they more and more people come, they have a larger community and more people to connect with and network with, which makes them feel probably more comfortable.
Right. It is it's a secular type of process where the more English speakers that come, they need services, and there are always people here who are willing to supply those services, and sometimes actually even people who made Aliyah a few years before them. Mm-hmm. People are always looking to provide services for speakers, and so the more services develop, and the more services develop, it's easier for people to make that move and to then walk up. So it becomes a secular
right.
Thing. Yeah.
Right. We have about 5 more minutes, so I'm going to ask you one more question and maybe ask you to set us up with some links.
Okay.
So generally, it seems like the program all in all, or that Aliyah in general, has met with a lot of success. And now we see it, you know, even with more Americans coming and even more successful. How is there a way to measure that? For example, let's take me for example. We must, or you. So, you know, I lived most of my adult life as an Israeli, actually, having made an Aliyah when I was 21 and spent 22 years here. And so I basically feel like I live and I breathe and I speak and I sing and I support, you know, with an Israeli kind of slant. I sometimes feel more Israeli than American. So I would say that in my case, that would be quite a measure of success as far as absorption goes. Another example, perhaps, is the continuity of the generations, the families that make Aliyah, and then the generations that keep staying. For example, they don't leave. They don't feel that they need to leave the country. Can you think of anything else that might be a sort of a way to measure the success of absorption?
Well, I mean, I think you're right. I tend to measure it on a more practical level, which is, you know, if people, first of all, if they stay, if people end up buying homes mm-hmm. here in the community, shows stability and that people are in it for the long run. If people get good jobs, mm-hmm. okay, that they can live on the salaries and they provide for their families. If the kids are happy in school and do well, and you know, we see them as they get older and they go into the army or they do national service, and then in many cases their kids will marry Hebrew speakers. Know, and it becomes
right.
again the melting pot.
Right.
And I've seen people here also, interestingly enough, who they come and then as a result of their coming, other people in their family come, sisters, brothers, sometimes parents, which is very nice because it's become much more intergenerational, cross-generational. We have a lot more older people, you know, all the grandmothers and grandfathers
right.
coming to be closer to their grandchildren. And so, you know, when I see that, to me that's success story,
right?
As well as the fact that I hear from Olim that they don't just stay with the English speakers. That they go to meals and they have friends that are native Israelis, and they feel like a part of the community. And I guess that's what to me it makes it very successful. You know, they're,
right.
they're volunteering and they're not only volunteering, they're active in different organizations in the city. They're active in synagogues. And these are all Israeli institutions. There's very few things that are all American or just exclusively just for Olim. And so when I see that people are active in the community and giving themselves and they feel like a part of what's going on, that's to me, that's very successful.
Yeah. Well, Shelley, it's been really nice talking with you. We're speaking with Shelley Brin, Aliyah Coordinator in Maale Adumim. And we learned about Maale Adumim last a couple of weeks ago on our show. So Maale Adumim is a great place to be. Anybody thinking of Aliyah should probably consider Maale Adumim as one of the places that they would want to be. Again, back to those websites. What would you
okay.
recommend?
So
how can people contact you if they want to come to Maale Adumim and in general to Israel?
Okay, so the first step probably would be to go online and go to the Nefesh B'Nefesh website, which is NBN, www.aliyah.org.il. Okay, and there on that website, you'll find almost anything you need that has to do with the Aliyah process, general information, information on different communities, shipping, there's videos, there's it's huge. You'll find, I think, all the information that you need on that website. You can also, by the way, my email address, my contact information is also on the Nefesh B'Nefesh website when you go into Ma'ale Adumim.
Okay.
Okay, the other website, obviously, would be the Jewish Agency for Israel.
Okay. Is that all one word?
Yes, it's connected. JewishAgencyForIsrael.com.
We hope. We hope. We'll double check.
Yeah, it's either com or co.il.
Okay.
And there again, you have different categories about making Aliyah. The Jewish Agency has an amazing service center, an Aliyah center, where they take phone calls and emails from all over the world, and they guide people in the Aliyah process. So those two alone will keep you busy for quite a while. And then, of course, you know, there are books put out about making Aliyah and all sorts of tips. Mm-hmm. But I think, of course, one nice thing now that we have that probably didn't exist a number of years ago were all the English chats in Israel. For example, in Ma'ale Adumim, we have an English-speaking chat, which you can get onto through yahoogroups.com. And once you go into yahoogroups.com, they ask you which chat you want. And you can write MA-chat, okay? And you can register and become part of the English-speaking chat in Ma'ale Adumim. Find out what's going on here, post questions. You get answers from lots of people. Everyone here, as we're all, most of us are Jewish here. We like to give our opinions about everything. Even when we don't really have an opinion. Anyway, and so that's a good way of getting information about the community.
Hi, we are back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk with Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. And we are chronically fundraising, so please visit our website at www.israelisreal.weebly.com and please email us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com. And our Torah portion today is Naso. Many biblical characters have captured the imagination of various authors, artists, and philosophers, both Jewish and non-Jewish. And this week, Torah portion, we learn about Samson. We learn that he is a judge, Nazarite of God, and a fighter for national freedom, and also the strongest of all men, who is engrossed in love affair and hedonism, private revenge missions, and competition involving rivals. We can summarize this into three creative stems. First one, the national Samson, who fights against the Philistines of every generation, a symbol of bravery and strength. From here we have the drawing of the fox on the shoulder patch of Israel's Givati Brigade and the Southern Command. The second path will be that Samson, the tragic lover, the passionate male, who is betrayed. And the last one, Samson, the man who merited a unique religious possession to Nazareth of God and within whom there is a titanic struggle between earthly forces of temptation and lofty religious powers. Shabbat Shalom from Israel is Real.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom.
ומנעים שבטחים גם יחד הנה מתוק ומנעים.
connecting you to the new